I think the definition of greatness is to inspire the people next to you. I think that's what greatness is or should be. It's not something that lives and dies with one person. It's how can you inspire a person to then in turn inspire another person that then inspires another person. And that's how you create something that I think lasts forever. And I think that's our challenge as people, is to figure out how our story can impact others.
The Beat of My Drum Entertainment.
Kobe Bryant, the kid from Philadelphia with the dream to make the NBA like his father, Joe Bryant. Kobe went on to be one of the greatest basketball players that ever lived. In Los Angeles, California, Kobe was a basketball god. He reached iconic status to people all over the world for who he became in his 41 years of life. Kobe spent time overseas in Italy while his father played professionally. He learned the Italian language and learned many other languages. He was known as very curious about other cultures and loved to learn other languages. At Lower Merion High School, Kobe was one of the phenoms of the country at just outside of Philadelphia at a high school, and he became highly recruited from Duke, North Carolina, all kinds of colleges all over the country. But he chose to forego going to college because he wanted to fulfill his dream as an NBA player. And he went in as the youngest ever to play in an NBA game at 18 years old. And let me start off by saying, I was definitely an anti-Kobe fan because of my team. My team is the San Antonio Spurs. Their rivalry was so intense for many years that he was like a sports enemy and number one enemy around these parts. If you're a sports fan, if you're a Spurs fan, he had the ability to just not give a damn about your feelings. Time and time again, he would win the game for the Lakers because he would just will his team to victory. My friend Richard at work, we were talking the other day, and he said it best. He's like, man, that man was just a straight up savage on the basketball court. As soon as you thought that you had the game won or the lead was safe, he would just take it from you. That's just the kind of player he was, a straight savage. He recently did an interview where he gave credit to the Spurs for being such a great opponent and giving them credit that no, there's no way he could have won multiple or more championships just because the Spurs were in the way and they were such a great opponent and champions for years. I mean, they won 5 championships. But that's what I remember from Kobe. Like, the Spurs would be up by 10. And they'd find a way to win. And someone on the team would make a big shot. And, it's just his confidence kind of carried over to the rest of the team. And they fed off of that. Even at times when they were up big, the Lakers were up big, and the Spurs would cut it down to 7 points. Well, here comes Kobe with back-to-back threes and stuck a dagger in the hopes of a comeback and win the game. And this is something that I witnessed. I saw. I stayed up late. Lakers start at 9:30 on the West Coast. Spurs, when they played here, of course, I'd be watching. I watched every game. I went to multiple games. I said it the other day on Facebook, like, that man was just a rock star. The fans would wait for him to leave. He'd do all these interviews. He'd do a radio interview, TV interview for national TV, and then he'd do his local interview with the local station from LA, and he just would walk off the court and there'd just be a sea of people, purple and gold and even silver and black, just waiting there for him to walk through. And I don't think I remember him signing any autographs, but I always remembered he acknowledged the fans, he waved to them, he made sure if there was a kid there, he'd say hi to him. And at the same time, he was just a savage on the court. His fire burned hot. He was just a hardcore competitor that just wanted to win every time. And there's a lot of players that say they want to win. And then there's Kobe Bryant, someone that, would literally take over games when it mattered the most. He won the first three-peat with Shaq. They went on to go to the finals 4 times. They had kind of an ugly breakup between the two, and Shaq was traded to Miami. Kobe stayed in L.A. Kobe went through his controversy, which we'll get into a little bit later, about the sexual assault allegation in Eagle, Colorado. And that's during the 2003-2004 year. But all in all, I mean, I remember there was a game, there was a stretch where he scored like 40 points, 10 straight games. And this is during all the controversy and everything. But and going back to that fourth year after the three-peat, the fourth year the Spurs knocked him out. And I remember Kobe just on the sideline crying, Derek Fisher crying. Like, it really meant so much to them to get that four-peat, but they just weren't as good. You know, Shaq kind of got out of shape. They didn't build their role players, and they didn't build around the role players, and they just were not better than the Spurs that year that went on to win the championship. But, I mean, as a childhood, I had two jerseys. I had the number 21, Tim Duncan, and I had the number 8, Kobe Bryant. And I remember I wore the Kobe Bryant jersey to, like, a junior high dance one time. It was the number 8. And my cousin, I was walking out of the dance, and my cousin was picking up his son or daughter or something, I don't know, but he goes, John, what the hell is that? And I said, what? And he said, take that shit off, it's Kobe. And I was like, nah, man, I love Kobe. Like, how could you not love Kobe? It was a love-hate relationship with Kobe in sports, because he just was so good, and he was like our Michael Jordan, like my generation's Michael Jordan. I was probably a little bit too young to see Michael all the way. I mean, I remember the 1998 finals, everybody was watching it, but I don't remember too much more than that, other than the highlights that I've seen. But I could say I saw a lot of Kobe. I followed him throughout his whole career, me and my friends. You know, my friends growing up, the whole Kobe thing, you know, shooting in the trash can. I mean, it was more than that. We would, like, practice his moves all the time. You know, we wish we could do them in the game one day. My friend, especially Frank, I mean, he really idolized Kobe's moves and practiced his walk, his talk, and he shaved his head bald. I mean, it was so funny. You know, we'd always tease him about looking like Kobe Bryant, but he was just meant a lot to my generation during that time. When you had Tracy McGrady, you had Allen Iverson, Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, you know, that whole era of players. Ray Allen was really good with the Milwaukee Bucks. But on top of everything, on top of everyone, it was Kobe and Tim Duncan, you know, just trading championships almost every year or going to the finals every year. Just was a great time, and I didn't appreciate it until when Kobe retired. I was like sad, like, man, I'm gonna miss those rivalries, and Tim Duncan retired, and it just was kind of the end of that era of basketball, which is great for me because I watched so much of it. And Kobe always kind of came off as, you know, a little bit of as a jerk, and somebody that just wouldn't, you know, make friends. It didn't seem like, it kind of seemed like he was a loner on the team, and there's been accounts, and there's been interviews in the past, you know, going back during those years where they said that Kobe just didn't, he was very private, didn't like to be bothered too much, and he was just so focused and competitive on the game that it kind of was off-putting for a lot of people. You know, later on in his career, I think he kind of opened up a little bit more. He got another chance at being great again. They got Paul Gasol, and he went to 3 straight finals. You know, they beat the Orlando Magic. They beat the Boston Celtics. And him as a player, he transformed. He went from number 8 to number 24, and his game really did change. He was a lot better in the post. He had all kinds of moves in the post. I mean, he would train with Hakeem Olajuwon. A lot of his moves resembled, of course, Michael Jordan. He just really evolved as a player. He wasn't as wild as, you know, back in the day, we used to always say, you know, Shobi or a showboat. You know, Kobe was a little bit of a showboat back when he had the afro And then he just turned into a total, you know, team player, team oriented type of player, and played well with Paul Gasol. Paul Gasol during his prime was great. You know, passing, shooting, he was so efficient, and he was a perfect fit for Kobe. So when we look at Kobe's career accolades as an NBA player and as a basketball player, period, he was a champion, a 5-time champion. He had 2 finals MVPs. He was the most valuable player 1 year, and that was in 2008. He probably should have had more than that. It just was a very competitive field. LeBron James, Tim Duncan, Steve Nash, Shaquille O'Neal. This is all during the time when these guys are dominating as well. 18-time NBA All-Star. All NBA first team 11 times. 2-time NBA scoring champion. He won the NBA Slam Dunk Contest in 1997. The Los Angeles Lakers retired numbers 8 and number 24. So no one can ever wear those numbers again for the Lakers. In high school, he was a Naismith Prep Player of the Year. And he was the first team parade All-American in high school as well. And that sums, that comes out to 25 points a game, 5.2 rebounds per game, and 4.7 assists, his career averages. He won a gold medal in the Olympics in 2008 and 2012 as part of that Redeem team. This man is a winner, an absolute winner, a champion, an icon, a basketball savant. There's courts built around the whole world today with Kobe's face, Kobe and his daughter's, you know, face on the court, on walls. I mean, it's just a huge loss for the basketball world. I'm hoping that one day we may see another basketball player with the same drive and determination as Kobe Bryant on that court, because he was an inspiration. And even down to his very last game, even though he took like 50 shots, he went out with a bang. I'm not going out like no chump. He scored 61 points to end his career. I mean, what a way to go out. And that's just Kobe Bryant. He ended the right way. So in that final championship run with Shaq, Bryant, they didn't win the finals, but it was still going pretty good for him. He was extremely popular. Looked like they were leaning towards building around Kobe for the future. Shaq was going to be traded. So that brings us to when he had surgery in Eagle, Colorado. He went to Eagle to have surgery on his knee. He checked into the hotel and with a couple of other members from his entourage, and Kobe had an accuser, and the accuser stated that she was sexually assaulted in his room during his stay there, late June, early July 2003. Story goes that she did work for the hotel, and she was given strict instructions to show Kobe around the hotel, kind of give him a tour, have him warm up to the place, and she did. She showed him around, and during that conversation, she said that he invited her to his room later on that night. So she did go to his room, and they began kissing after, you know, a few minutes in there, chatting it up. They begin kissing, and what happened next has been disputed ever since the sexual assault case, you know, was announced that he was being accused of rape. That they did not have consensual sex, that it was against her will, that she wanted to leave the room, and Kobe refused to let her. Prosecutors, they had a pretty strong case. According to court documents, the examination of the woman at the hospital revealed she did have some signs of, you know, bruising on her neck and tears to her vaginal wall. You see, and Kobe had initially told investigators that he did not have sexual intercourse with the 19-year-old woman. After being presented with evidence, Bryant did admit to having consensual sex with the woman. Bryant vehemently denied any wrongdoing or having sex against the woman's will. There were some inconsistencies in the woman's story as well. She had multiple sex partners within the days prior to the incident. She also had admitted to lying to the detectives about arriving to work late that day. She said that she had just overslept. She also said Bryant forced her to clean herself up before leaving the room. However, she then admitted Bryant did not force her to clean herself up before leaving the room. She said she lied because she was just scared the detective would not believe her. Well, in September of that year, the charges were dismissed against Bryant because the accuser was unwilling to testify. Kobe did take a major hit, a public relations hit, and maybe his legacy was affected forever. Many endorsements were dropped from Kobe. It took many years for Kobe to repair his reputation, but even as late as last year, the story came up again when he wasn't invited to a film festival because of the allegation. And Kobe's legacy is complicated now because of this incident. And it's up to you, in your mind, to decide whether he did or did not assault the woman. It never went to trial. The lady was unwilling to testify. So you can make the case yourself. All we know is it is part of his legacy and something that we do have to talk about when we talk about Kobe Bryant's legacy.
There's a quote from one of my English teachers at Lower Merion named Mr. Fisk. He had a great quote that said, "Rest at the end, not in the middle." And that's something I always live by.
Kobe was just at the beginning of what was a promising second act after basketball. He started an investment company in 2013 called Bryant Stiebel. His company invested in several companies, including Dell and Epic Games, which is the creator of Fortnite. He had a media company that produced books, most notably a children's book recently that he came out with, podcasts and movies. A short film called Dear Basketball was about his career. He had won an Oscar last year because of this short film. His relationship with Nike became such a big player in the shoe game. He started off with Adidas. He came out with like some space looking shoes early in his career. And then he switched over to Nike. And it was probably the best and biggest move that he's made in his career because he was an innovator. He was one of the first basketball players to start wearing the low top basketball shoes in a game. Players most commonly wore highs or mids in order to give support and avoid an ankle sprain. Now you see low-top shoes made by Kevin Durant and other stars. Of course, LeBron James and Michael Jordan are probably the most successful names and brands from Nike. But Kobe's gear has been consistently like fire, consistently successful throughout the years. I always loved his shoe, his low. Manu Ginobili wore the low Kobe, the black and white. I always wanted those. I never got them, but I think when Manu started wearing them, I was already out of basketball, so I didn't buy them. I can remember about 5 years ago, Kobe started heavily promoting the drink Body Armor. You would see him drinking it on the sidelines, posting about it on social media. He would wear like the little towel on him after the game. I used to think, nobody's going to drink that crap. Everybody's drinking Gatorade, Powerade. other drinks were starting to become popular, and he started promoting this unknown drink, Body Armor. I used to think that until a family member of mine, I went to their house, and they had a whole crate full of Body Armor. Like, try this out. And I tried it, and it was just really good. So I used to think this brand wasn't that big, but according to ESPN's Darren Rovell, Brian invested nearly $6 million in Body Armor in 2014. So over the course of, you know, 4 or 5 years, Coca-Cola then acquired a minority stake in the brand in 2018. The Black Mamba share is now worth an estimated $200 million. I would say that's a great return on investment.
And what brings you the most joy right now?
Being with my family.
Really?
That is, man, that is the most fun. It's just, you know, it's hanging out with them all summer, being able to like do things that I ordinarily couldn't do.
Yeah.
Because of training, because of season, sure, and stuff like that. So being around them and watching Bianca grow up, because there are a lot of things that I miss with Natalia and Gianna because I was playing. So being there every day with them is so much fun, man. So it brings me the most joy.
So now we get to Kobe's family. Kobe and Vanessa met when she was 17, and Kobe was 21 years old with the Lakers, already a superstar on the team. You know, they clicked right away. They were young and in love. She dropped out of school. They got engaged, and Kobe's parents, you know, didn't see eye to eye with Kobe on that because she was still so young, and the fact that, you know, they had, by reports, they wanted an African-American woman. They wanted him to marry a Black woman, but he was in love with Vanessa, who was Latina. They ended up, Vanessa and Kobe, they had a daughter named Natalia. They ended up having three more daughters after that, so a total of four, which it was, second was Gianna, and then Bianca, and then Capri, which was only like 6 months old when he passed. Gianna, also known as Gigi, was, you know, pretty much the heir to Kobe on the basketball court. I'm sure the others had their own talents, but Kobe always really talked about Gigi. She wanted to play at UConn, University of Connecticut, one day for the Huskies. You would see them on the sideline sitting together. He would be showing her plays. It looked like he'd be telling her about, you know, what's what on the court. And it was just so cool to see that as a father myself. You know, people would make comments to Kobe all the time about not having a boy to carry on the legacy. And, you know, he always proudly would just state that he was a girl dad. And he even nicknamed her Mambacita after his name, the Black Mamba. I mean, he stated recently in a recent interview that, you know, he was obsessed with his family. He was psychotic about family time. He wanted to make sure he made time for picking up the kids from school, dropping them off, spending time with his kids, which led to, you know, him getting into using helicopters. It was well documented that Kobe later in his career would take the helicopter from his home in Newport Beach to the game downtown in Los Angeles at the Staples Center. If you ever been to LA, you know the traffic's just really bad, and to get from Newport Beach, which is south of Los Angeles, to downtown, that's probably going to take an hour or two. I'm not from the area, but I've been to Newport Beach, I've been to LA downtown, I've even been to the Staples Center, so I could tell you that, you know, from my experience, it's just a lot of traffic there. And the helicopter was one way for him to make time for his family. You know, he'd get to the game in 15 minutes and back in 15 minutes, and he'd always have time for his family. And when you're that rich, I mean, the last year of his contract, he was making upwards of $30 million per year. And he did, you know, kind of face some scrutiny with that, because it was kind of like his farewell check, a thank you check, because at that point he wasn't worth the $30 million as far as on the court, maybe with revenue, ticket sales, and jersey sales and merchandise, but on the court, he just was far from anywhere he was in his prime and in his last year. And you know, he was making that much money, but he had the money to pay for it. It seemed like he was conscious about his expenditures and what he was spending his money on and what he felt passionate about. And you know, that comes down to the helicopter, getting back to the helicopter. He had been using them for 15 years already and flying them back and forth, and by all accounts he was a very good passenger. He didn't put pressure on the pilots to do this or that. He respected everyone's profession. He respected the pilots. He didn't make them feel like they had to do something or had to be somewhere at a certain time. It was more like, you know, mutual professional relationship. And it's reported that, you know, Kobe didn't even really talk that much to the pilot. He just, you know, kept to himself. It was, "How's it going, Kobe?" And vice versa. And nothing more than, you know, a taxi ride and or an Uber ride in downtown San Antonio. You know, it's nothing different than that, except he was taking a helicopter. And recently, even Kawhi Leonard stated that he used the helicopter many times. And the pilot that was on this helicopter that crashed, you know, he was referred to by Kobe. So Kawhi Leonard even took the helicopter numerous times from where Kawhi's from in San Diego to Los Angeles, back and forth to the games, because Kawhi's got a house in San Diego. I'm sure he's got a place in LA, but he would take the helicopter, and he said that that was the most trusted helicopter pilot that he's had, and he just couldn't believe it when it did happen. But that leads to you know, January 26, 2020, and I kind of always thought, like, and when it came down to what's going to happen this year, I hate to think like that, but you know, 2019 was such an intense year with the passing of different family members and different, you know, people that are important in my life. And even on the celebrity scale, a lot of people that were, you know, popular and famous passed away. And it's like, oh gosh, like hopefully everything goes good this year. But you just know it's not. You know that something's going to happen. You know that someone's going to lose their life. It's just, that's just the hard fact of life, and you're going to live and you're going to die. But never in a million years would I ever thought it would be Kobe Bryant that we would lose on that Sunday morning. So to kind of take you on my day of what was going on, I wanted to do some stuff on my MacBook, and we were going to spend the day at my sister's house with her and her husband, just hanging out. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not the type to just really sit there and you know, talk or just do whatever and gossip or whatever. I like to get something done. So I took my computer over there, wanted to get some stuff done. I know the Pro Bowl was on. I just logged into my computer, and I get a text from Nate Gomez. And Nate Gomez said, "Bro," like a lot of O's, and he said Kobe died. And I was stunned immediately. I didn't really know what to say or what to do. I felt numb. I said it like right away. I said, "Oh my God!" And Sabrina and my mom were like, "What?" My mom and my sister, and I said, "They said Kobe died," and I was questioning it because I was hoping it wasn't true. But as soon as it logged on, I mean, it was all over the reports. And TMZ, like it or not, they're the most credible news source in America. You know, what they report is always right. And as soon as I saw TMZ attached to that report, I knew it had to be right. My heart sunk. I was hoping it wasn't right. But that's what it was, in bold letters on their website: Kobe dead at 41. due to helicopter crash, and I just couldn't believe it. So Kobe was on his way to the Mamba Academy in Thousand Oaks, which is North Orange County. They flew from Southern Orange County, and it was him and his daughter Gianna and seven other passengers, including the pilot. So when it comes down to Kobe getting into the helicopters, it's just so routine, it's so common for him. It was just a common route, well traveled by people every day. This is a route by helicopter that the rich and the famous travel daily. So how did this happen? Well, the helicopter left from South Orange County en route to the northern part of the county, which Orange County is huge. The first half of the flight was pretty routine, no real weather issues, and there was relatively good visibility for the pilot. So within about 13 minutes, they passed downtown Los Angeles, so they're able to see downtown LA. If you've been to LA, you know that Dodger Stadium is not too far from downtown LA. The terrain began to rise, and air traffic control instructed the pilot to stay around the town of Glendale, California. And they circled Glendale for about 10 minutes as air traffic control cleared. And there just was a lot of traffic at that time, and they wanted them to wait their turn, so to speak. It's kind of crazy, you know, somebody that's never been on a helicopter, you know, for me, I think that's just like, sounds like they're talking about, you know, Uber routes or taxi routes or something. It's crazy, but they had to wait in Glendale, and this is where there's actually a retired pilot, ironically, a retired pilot on the ground, and he gets a video of the helicopter going in circles that morning, and you know, looked a little peculiar because it was just going in circles, you know, kind of at a rapid pace and going pretty fast. And then they got the clearance. The helicopter followed the freeway into the San Fernando Valley. Visibility started to become an issue at this point. I'm sure Kobe and the passengers were just fine, just like any route or any flight that they've taken before together, which him and, you know, a lot of the people on the helicopter had struck up a relationship because they all were involved in these girls' basketball. So he was heavily involved in the girls' basketball thing. I mean, it was being played at his academy, the Mamba Academy. So he knows them. They know him. They all were probably chatting it up. And, you know, just like any other commute, you know, in the morning. But the visibility became an issue because, you know, in that area, the water there at the... in the Pacific Ocean, it's, you know, cold. So that cold, moist air coming off the water caused a thick and low cloud cover near the hills. They were flying above Route 101. Right before the crash, the ground control tells the pilot that he's way too low for tracking. So the air traffic control couldn't really find him because the helicopter was flying so low. The pilot radioed back that he was climbing to avoid the cloud layer, and, you know, he quickly gained altitude right after that call-in from that pilot. At 2,300 feet, the helicopter turned from Highway 101 and crashes into the side of a hill. The helicopter may have missed the top of the hill in clearance by only 20 to 30 feet. 9 people died in the helicopter in the accident on Sunday, January 26, 2020. Kobe Bryant and Gianna Bryant and others were in that helicopter that crashed and went up in flames. And there was actually a biker who took photos probably like 4 minutes after the crash, and the whole, I mean, almost 100 yards was engulfed in flames. So it was a terrible, terrible accident, a brutal, you know, destructive type of impact. I mean, they were just going such at a fast pace, and at approximately 150 miles an hour descending into the ground, you would think that, you would hope that they didn't suffer. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know and we'll never know. But what they could, you know, confirm right away is that there were going to be no survivors from this accident. And he passed away on that Sunday morning, even after he attended church, and just like we all do. Probably had breakfast and gave his daughter a kiss in the morning, said, kiss goodbye to his family. But we know that he never made it back, and he never made it to the basketball game. You know, people all over the world were stunned. People at the Mamba Academy were stunned. They were waiting for, you know, Kobe and the rest of the players to show up to, you know, play the game. And they were informed that there was a tragedy that occurred. You know, the rest of the day was pretty stunning.
So how can we teach our children what it means to work hard? Well, you do it through training, right? So when I get up in the morning, my daughter goes with me.
4 a.m.?
4 a.m. My 15-year-old goes with me. She goes with me before school, and it becomes a daddy-daughter thing.
That's cool.
She just got her permit, right? So she drives in the morning. It becomes a cool thing, right? But through that process, she understands the value of hard work and things taking time. And the same thing with my 12-year-old, right? She practices every day, right? And so it's through those behaviors is where I find the motivation to do it.
So what is the Mamba mentality? Kobe said the Mamba mentality isn't about seeking a result. It's about the journey and the approach. It's a way of life. Kobe opened up a sports academy for all ages a few years ago. There were many different training programs and sports leagues offered at the academy. Kobe hosted a mini camp last summer where NBA players like Kawhi Leonard and Kyrie Irving, they went to go train, and a lot more NBA players went. He also held a similar camp for women's players as well, the WNBA, college, and he was one of the biggest names to champion women's athletics in sports. I mean, Kobe Bryant was really an advocate for women's sports. Slowly but surely, women begin to gain attention for their athletic abilities, and this is happening right now. They just signed an agreement to receive a higher pay in the WNBA. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, and Kobe was there at the forefront pushing for this for years. And Kobe also said recently that there's players in the WNBA that could play in the NBA right now. And this is Kobe Bryant saying that. And he said that with absolute confidence, that he thinks that players like Diana Taurasi, Maya Moore, and others can play with the men. And I think you can directly credit that to him being a girl dad, a dad of four girls. And I close this podcast with a small bit of emptiness in my heart for someone I'd never met. The thing is, basketball is my favorite pastime, and it was growing up in the small town of Natalia, Texas. On Sunday, January 26, 2020, the world lost a sports icon. My friends and I would play day and night, acting and imitating Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Tim Duncan, Tracy McGrady, Allen Iverson, These players we idolized growing up, we wanted to be like on the basketball court. But this man had a family, and his family lost a father, a brother, a husband, and a son. The man in the spotlight for more than 20 years had handled it the best that he could. I want the listeners to think about this for 1 second. If today was your last day, did you do your best to make a positive impact on the world? Kobe did. He went through the same ups and downs as we all do. The trials, the tribulations, and the triumphs. His story is our story. Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. Wraps up the 19th episode. Thank you for listening. Please give me some feedback on Instagram under @IamJohnMendez or @TheBeatOfMyDrum. Talk to you soon, and remember, always march to the beat of your own drum.
The Beat of My Drum Entertainment.